This is a replay of the Wednesday night, August 26th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the best deal and good customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
To spend together, and as promised, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. But engineer Bob sent me a story I wanted to start with. I felt so sorry for this guy, and actually it was in the UK where some of the streets are narrow, and this taxi driver managed to wedge the vehicle sideways in an alley. Cannot go forward, cannot back up, and they had a video of it too. We don't know how he ever got out of there. Maybe they got a crane, I don't know. But I had to laugh about this because it was so reminiscent something that happened to me in California. Actually, it was when I used to be doing promotion and stuff like that, I very often would rent cars. And when Budget Lincolns had a deal years ago where you get them fairly cheap for the month, and they had FM radios at a time when very few rental cars did back then. And so I always joked that I rented an FM radio with a Lincoln attached to it, and it was true. But I had some time in Northern California, and I figured I'd go see some of the Redwoods. Yeah, right. And so, you know how they have the drive-through trees? Maybe you haven't seen them, but clearly you've seen pictures of them. And so I'm looking at this drive-through tree, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, that's pretty narrow. But then I think, well, now just wait a minute. Cars were bigger back in the day. Well, they were taller, but I didn't realize they weren't wider. In any event, the bottom line, and some kid is standing there shaking his head like, don't do it, lady. Do I pay attention? Hell no. Bottom line, I got the bumper wedged into the tree, completely wedged, could not move. Finally, I just put it in reverse and tromped on the gas. And for all I know, that bumper is still in that tree. I have no idea. And so, of course, I had plenty of time since I wasn't going to be returning the rental car till the next day to figure out what do I say about this. You know, in the past, after hitting a deer, I claimed it was a fuzzy meteor, but that's a longer story. In any event, what am I going to say? And first thing I said when I got there is, I'm glad I took the insurance. And the second thing I said, I don't know. I got up this morning, put my bags in the car, and it was just missing the bumper. And they didn't do any questioning anymore than that, because indeed I had bought the insurance. But as I was looking at this poor guy, I don't know how he ever got this car out of there. But I thought, I can relate. Yeah. So there you have the mirth from Engineer Bob, and I appreciate it. A lot more stories from him, also from James on the South Side, and Gordy in Arizona. So, all right, well, plenty to talk about, but what is on your mind will trump it no matter what. 888-876-5593, and we will kick it off with Victor in Silver Spring. What's up tonight, Victor?
Well, I was talking to Nick earlier today, and we started talking about some of the commercials we remembered.
Yeah.
And some of them are really memorable. I guess the most famous one of them all is the Adams and Sweat carpet cleaning commercial. And it went something like this. How many cookies did Andrew eat? Andrew 88000. How do you keep your carpets clean? Call Andrew 88000.
That's great. And of course, this was a relatively regional thing. I know they had them in Boston. Did they have them where you were? Oh, okay. All right. So you were in Boston. But Adams and Sweat, you know, they've been there since like the Civil War or before. They were there forever. And they did specialized cleaning, obviously. But that's terrific. I love that. I've never seen that.
That came out of 1958 when everybody had a telephone exchange. Like,
oh, yeah.
My aunt's number, for example, was Lynn 2380, like that.
Yeah, well, as far as I'm concerned, when I dial numbers, I still consider them the exchanges, you know, whether it's Union or Plaza or Murray Hill or whatever. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then there was another one in the Boston area. You can save a pretty penny by your gasoline at Jenny. Jenny is so good to your car.
Yeah, some of those local spots, and they were usually local ad agencies that did them, were just great. And, you know, they'd buy very often fringe time. You wouldn't necessarily see it on the news, but it was terrific. I wonder if that Adams and Sweat commercial is on YouTube.
I bet you it is, because that is the most unusual commercial I have ever heard.
Well, it's brilliant, because it gets you to remember the phone number.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's my big complaint about some commercials. They'll be so memorable, but you'll forget what the product is. And so when you can have a spot that actually, you know, implants the product, or in this case, the phone number, in your mind, that's an award winner.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I remember some of the other commercials. There was a commercial for the Polaroid Swinger.
Oh, yeah.
That was 1968, and then there was a commercial for a hairspray.
Uh-huh.
And the woman says, "Do you know what I use?" And she hit the wrong button.
Oh, no.
Great!
Right. I've heard that on the Kermit Schaefer stuff. Yes, absolutely. I can't find Adams and Sweat, but I'll keep looking because that sounds like a great spot. Now, I loved all the old car commercials they used to do all over the country.
Oh yes.
And in California, we had Ralph Williams, and it was Chick Lambert was the guy who did his spots, and they were some of the outtakes are online that are hilarious as far as that goes. But a lot of people remember Cal Worthington, but the reality is Cal was basically based upon Ralph Williams, the same kind of thing, and they were always in trouble. But markets across America, there was a guy in Miami, Jumpin' Jack O'Brien, who did municipal auto sales, and I remember the locations were 3060, 3061, 3059, and the economy corner at 3058 Northwest 36th Street, Municipal Auto Sales. This man said that in less than 10 seconds.
Wow.
It was just terrific as far as that.
On the same blooper record, the guy was talking about, you can get this brand new car for only $7,200.
Yeah.
And I'm saying to myself, yeah, they're more expensive now, but he meant to say $2,700.
Yeah, right. Yeah, of course. Of course he did. And, you know, I've been guilty of this when I've read live commercials over the years. There were two infamous ones. And then the first one was, and this was the 70s, and it was a new development near Rancho Palos Verdes in Los Angeles. And they were selling homes, and they talked about the genuine leather and plaster and all this stuff. And then I got, for only $495,000, except I saw that number. I said, $495,000? That's the way I read it. And,
I learned to write commercials when I went to broadcasting school.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let me graduate, but I remember.
And why? Wait a minute. And why not?
Like,
why? Are you going to tell me they wouldn't let you graduate just because you couldn't see? Tell me that's
yes.
not. No. Tell me that's not true.
It's true.
That's
but
not.
I got my revenge because they got out. They went out of business three Good. Years. After they kicked me out.
That's not fair. And a lot of my 45 still have Braille on them from guys I worked with who couldn't see. They could, you know, you'd have occasionally a manager, well, how can he read the meters? Don't worry about it. You know,
I could just barely see see the meters. I had pretty good vision back then, but I had to write a commercial that went like this. Oh, it's hot. It's really hot. Your wife and kids, they're going to start complaining. Daddy, take me to the beach. The beach is 20 miles away. You're in no mood to take them to the beach. And then your neighbor says, why don't you get a swimming pool? All right. Tahitian swimming pools. I heard the ad on the radio, and it went like something like this. So you want to get out of the doghouse. You call the number 1-2-3-5-thousand. Get yourself a Tahitian swimming pool, either in the ground or above ground. Easy monthly payments. No interest until maybe in a 36 month, something like that. It's been a long time since I wrote that commercial.
Yeah, this is great. This is great. I was afraid you were going to go somewhere else. Swimming pools are good, but I thought you were going to say the neighbors had a slip and slide. So
I remember those things.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's great. Yeah, well, a pox on the people who kicked you out of broadcasting school. I'm glad you got your revenge.
Well, in a way, I did entertain people in another way, by working at the National Library Service for the Blind.
Perfect.
I was the guy that made sure that the cassette books that were done met specifications, and I could tell you stories about the producers I had to deal with.
Perfect. I love it. That's great.
This one producer writes a letter to the director, and he says, I'm recalling six books because Victor Schmidt is going to reject them, and he started complaining about me. I'm called to the front office, and the director says, when the producers start complaining about you, I know you're doing your job.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Good deal. Well, always wonderful to hear from you.
Start the show off.
Oh, I did. On a lovely note. Thank you for that.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, yeah, man, I remember jumping Jack O'Brien, like I say, with Municipal Auto Sales. There was one, for a while he was doing it from the television station's circular driveway, and the car would drive up and he'd, you know, pat it or hit it or whatever and just, you know, $29.95 or whatever. Well, one of me hit and something fell off it. I don't remember what, but something. And after that, it was written into the scripts. You know, the cars would fall apart right on set. But that was the other spot. I was working in Philadelphia. And yeah, I know I should pre-read copy. That's for damn sure. But it was during the transit strike. And this was many years ago when they first came out with the 84-month payment plan, which, you know, that's 7 years of car pay. And so I'm doing this spot, and, you know, I said, don't, you know, get off the bus, don't worry about it, strike and go on forever, but you will have a car, because, you know, whoever it was offers 84 months payment. And as I hit that cold, I said, wait a minute, that's 7 years. Will the cars last that long? And needless to say, a make good was issued for that spot. But I contend that I don't remember what little boxes they were selling, but I really doubt they lasted longer than the payments. All right, so we'll pick it up with Cindy, and there's room for you too. But since we're talking about good old time TV or radio, if you're a radio fan, well, you know the Sea Crane Company. And right now, I'd like you to turn your attention to the CC Radio Solar with Bluetooth. Why do I say that? Because I don't know what the deal is with weather, but this afternoon got all sorts of emergency alerts, whether it was thunderstorms or flash floods or you name it. It just seems like this summer is just loaded with events. And so invariably they'll lead to the power being out. And what happens then? Well, if it's a night, you run for the flashlight. And whether it's day or night, you run for the radio. Well, what if the radio has no batteries? Oh, but it's an emergency radio, you say. It has solar power. Well, what if it wasn't in the windowsill? What do you do then? Well, that's where the CC Radio Solar is better than anything else, because when you've got no battery power and you didn't leave it out in the sun, and by the way, it has an oversized solar panel, so it works very well that way. But when all that else fails, hand crank it for about 30 seconds. It's going to play for 30 minutes, so no matter what, you will have radio. But not only that, it's got a built-in LED flashlight, so you will have light as well, no matter what the emergency. And you're saying, oh man, what does this look like? Actually, really nice. It's about the size of a brick. It's white, clean, modern digital design, 5 easy one-touch memories, superior reception, excellent audio. And in fact, the audio is so good, it can double as your Bluetooth speaker, and they have Bluetooth right in it. Go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. Great information as well about radios as well as wonderful products. Look at the CC Radio Solar with Bluetooth. I think you're going to like it. If you can't go online for some reason, they've got terrific customer service, and you can call and answer all your questions as well. That's 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. If you're saying, I got to have it tomorrow, well, it is on Amazon. But before you go there, go to ccradio.com. Look at the CC Radio Solar. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio. James, yeah, the incomparable Dolly Parton, no doubt about it. Was Marty in Whiting last night who said, will you play Mule Skinner Blues? Why not? They actually released that as a single on RCA in 1970, I think about August of 1970. And I don't know that it charted, but it got a certain amount of airplay. And like most of her stuff, Bob Ferguson produced it. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Robert is in Chicago. What's going on, Robert?
Oh, yeah. I've got a couple of more TV commercials from the early days.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, there was one where it was so short, they just showed a wristwatch, and it was at 9 o'clock in the evening every night. They would say...
Bull of a watch time.
A bull of a watch time.
Yeah. You know, I remember that it became a pretty famous blooper because it was a radio network announcer who read the copy, never pre-read it, and he read the instructions, which said, on Christmas, say Merry Christmas. On New Year's, say Happy New Year's. It's 9 o'clock, blah, blah, blah. There you have it. But yeah, absolutely. Boulevard watches for years, you know.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Every evening at 9 o'clock on the... Even on the major networks and all, now there was another one too. It was one where.
Hang on a minute! Don't go away. Stay where you are. We're in the news. Stay right where you are, and we'll pick it up right after the news. All right. So, there you have it.
Blues if you ain't got a soul. I want the blues in the groove. Yes, queens like a preacher for a star. Want the blues and the groove. Like the blues and the groove. When you groove in the blues, it sure sounds fine to me.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. It was Don and Beloit who requested Groove in the Blues. Rhapsody is what it says on the label. Yeah, Rhapsody with June's Orchestra. Yeah, and the deal was June Cole, actually was Reuben Cole, was his band. But what's interesting on that song, two things I found notable. Number one, Cozy Cole played drums, which, yeah, Topsy Part 2, you remember that? And yeah, that was pretty serious stuff. And Herman Lubinsky, who of course owns Savoy, produced it. So there you have it, recorded in July of 44 in New York City. 888-876-5593. We're back to Robert. We were talking about Bulova, which was a perfect commercial because it was 9 o'clock. It's Bulova watch time. You knew it was for Bulova. But do you remember it mm-hmm. takes a licking and keeps on ticking? Who was that?
Oh, that was Timex.
Yes,
was
you it? Remembered that. Good. A lot of people remember the slogan and don't remember the company.
Yeah. I was a little kid back then. I remember them, though. Yeah. And another one was, this might have been local in Chicago. It was Rayco Auto Seat Covers when you could get, and they would go, 1, 2, 3, go. Let's go to Rayco. Yeah. Yeah. But that was more on the radio, I think. I heard that one.
Yeah. And I think that that absolutely probably was a Chicago, but the company was based in New Jersey, and so I don't know if they were franchises or what, but the deal was they had they were in a lot of metropolitan areas, and so and that was the Rayco, Rayco. Yeah, and that was in Patterson. Yeah, so.
Oh, okay, Patterson, New Jersey.
Yeah, so I assume the commercial was done in New York, but I don't know whether they had a franchising deal or whether they were company owned.
Right. And of course, they also had they dealt with mufflers and convertible tops and things like that too.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And then there was Crayco. Yeah. Crayco had seat covers. Sure, there were so many things for automobiles at the time.
And
of course, Earl Scheib, any car, any color, 1995.
In by 9, out by 5.
Right, exactly. Yes. I painted a Hertz in New Orleans once. So they didn't care.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. Returned it pink. Nobody looked. But couldn't happen today. And they're more than 1995 now.
I've got one more here. There was one. There was a young girl, and her mother standing next to her by a stove, and she was cooking. Her mother was teaching her to cook, and her mother says, "Don't you think it needs a little salt?" And the girl says, "Mother, please, I'd rather do it myself."
Exactly. And so, what's the product?
Yeah, I think it was Anison or one of those, I hope I could say that over the air.
You're good at this. It is Anison. You're really good at this.
Oh, yeah.
But there are so many of those commercials there were great Alka-Seltzer ones too. I can't believe I ate the whole thing. Yeah.
With little Speedy Alka-Seltzer, the little character.
All of them. So,
when it comes to trivia, I always enjoyed that.
That's pretty good. Yeah, but those Mother Please, I'd rather do it myself. There were several settings of those, and they were all obnoxious. And And remember then, Excedrin had those little vignettes. Excedrin headache number 23.
Okay, Raleigh, it was good talking to you.
Yes, absolutely. Fun stuff. Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay. Bye-bye.
Right. Yeah. Commercials used to be really creative and a lot of fun. But again, I always harp on, do you remember the product? Because so many of them were terrific, but absolutely no product recall. So, good stuff. And some of the local spots, of course, were priceless, too, generally for how bad they were. But that was, right? And or repetitive. How many cities had a furniture store that was perennially closing. I mean, 20 years later, yeah, going out of business sale. They never went. I think John F. Lawhon, I think that might have been Nashville. They were going out of business for, maybe they still are, I don't know. On Channel 9 WGN TV, Tom Raper's RV World. All right, Don and Beloit, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh.
What's up?
I'm all stuffed up a little bit. Sound funny. But did Charlie Rich and Dolly Parton, you know, do any duets that you remember?
No, not that I remember. Okay. Now, I can't say they never did, but not, and they both were on RCA at the same time for a while, but I can't remember any of it. But when I was doing promotion for him, he was already a big deal and she was already a big deal. So I don't even remember any, you know, shared bills or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, earlier, anything's possible, but I don't know. Of course, she was pretty well time-wise consumed with that TV show, that Merle Haggard thing.
Right. And he came up a different path with his jazz background.
Well, yeah, Merle Haggard. I should have said Merle Haggard. I didn't mean that at all. What was that? And we talked about him last night at length. Who the heck was it? The guy who she did Genie's Afraid of the Dark and had the TV show. And right now my mind has just gone blank on his name. That's terrible. Porter Wagoner. There you go.
Oh, right, right.
You know, yeah, she
with
was.
The
she
TV
was.
Show.
Yeah, she was consumed with that after Norma Jean quit because she wanted to stay married and raise a family and stuff. Dolly took over in like September '68, and that was pretty much all encompassing.
So. That Viola Wells, what a singer. Like, wow.
Oh, yeah, she was great. And, just on the label says Rhapsody. And
but Miss Rhapsody was her name.
Right, but it doesn't say... Right, but it doesn't say Miss Rhapsody. It says Rhapsody. No miss in front of it. So it's just on the label in capital letters, Rhapsody. And underneath it in small letters, and June Cole's Orchestra.
And I was wondering, who's June Cole? And you said it was someone else.
Oh, yeah. No, Cozy Cole was not June Cole. Two different people. But Reuben June Cole was actually his name. And he was, he played piano on that song.
Right. And it's a good beat.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was from New Jersey. And his brother was Cozy Cole. So drummer in that. And, but yeah, he made it to like the mid 70s, actually. He was a younger brother of Cozy Cole. So he did a lot of sessions for Savoy. That was New Jersey based.
I see.
So, you know, I know a lot of the reissues and stuff like that, you'll see where it says Miss Rhapsody with Reuben Cole's Orchestra. But if you look at the original, it says Rhapsody with, and it doesn't say Reuben, with June Cole's Orchestra.
Right. I love the references, you know, the World War II, of course, it's going full throttle, and her lyrics, she twists them in a way to get that GI kind of phrasing in there. I forget the exact phrase that she uses, but anyway, it's obviously a big war, big band. I love that kind of era stuff.
Oh, sure. And, you know, it's interesting because she was great, but didn't really do much under her own name at all.
Yeah.
So, and she wrote it, though. And Viola Wells, and no connection to Viola Wills, who was a soul singer later.
And then Dorsey, these other people notice her, and she gets the big band treatment with some of the big bands.
Well, it was that time. Remember, this is 1944 when she recorded this. So she was, she was very well known at that time. So, sure.
And then there was a film about her, the documentary. I would love to watch that.
Really?
Who did? I think I saw it. And she gets her career revives in the 60s and 70s. She goes to the Harlem Blues and Jazz Club in the 70s.
Here we go. Okay, I'm looking for the documentary. And, there's a picture from 1945.
Count Basie and, Orchestra.
Yeah, let's see. I think, by the way, what I was reading here is, of course, this is Wikipedia. They're confusing two different artists, so I won't even comment. But I'll check it out. She was still
something called the New Jersey Women's History. There was a French documentary in 1975.
Okay. All right.
That's worth looking up. I'll try to find it.
Yeah, and I would New Jersey Women's History. Here we go, and I would wonder if that is on YouTube or not. It may be.
Oh right, sure.
Yeah, that's where I think I'd look for it first.
Yeah.
All right. Good deal.
Well, listen, thanks for playing my songs as usual.
Happy to do it.
Awesome stuff. We'll talk to you next time, Raleigh.
Okay, good. Okay, bye.
Good night.
All right, so 888-876-5593. No, I didn't see it. Like I said, I think they are confusing her in the Wikipedia entry. But then again, maybe not. Who knows? Fran is in Austin. Fran, welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
You were just talking about headache commercials. And I was wanting to like to request Headaches by Alan Sherman.
Oh yes. Okay, that's a wonderful choice.
And I was thinking of that. I mean, that used to be one of my, you know, especially when I was a little kid, you know, and my mother would be trying to be, you know, or my grandmother would try to be overprotective and do stuff. I'm like, Mother, please, I'd rather do it myself.
Yeah.
And here I was, you know, like, oh, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, something like that.
Right,
you know,
right.
Just a little kid. I'm like, Mother, please.
Yeah, I don't know. I was pretty impressed that Robert remembered it was Anison. Most of those taglines, I never can remember the product.
Yeah, I did remember Anison, and I remember the Excedrin one. I think it was like, now I can't remember what it was, but anyway, I think at the time we said it. Excedrin headache number. Yeah, of
yes,
I can remember that.
Yes, right, right. Yeah,
and.
I know there's one, I don't know what they were talking about, but he like a Strasbourg goose. And I thought, where the hell does that come into it?
Speaking of headaches, I was talking to, I got on the paratransit today to go to my physical therapy. And of course, I got one of those wonderful ProMaster buses.
Oh, God.
So I asked the driver, you know, I always, when we're walking out there, I say, are you in a ProMaster? And he said, yes, I am, and you need the ramp, right? And he said,
yeah.
Yes. And I got on the bus, and he said, oh, you're riding with a whole bunch of ProMaster lovers here. And he said, I'm being sarcastic, of course.
Right.
And, I mean, there were about four of us on the bus, and we were all just slamming that thing, you know, and they want to put, like, where I was sitting, they have wheelchair apparatus underneath that, and they wanted to put another wheelchair in there, and the drivers are protesting that because it's such a tight fit, and people can't, if I get on a bus and I try to get through and they've got three wheelchairs on there, I'm going to have to sidestep and try, you know, my best to get through without stepping on them. And then I would have to step up that big step in the back.
Yeah.
And so they're not doing that. And two of the drivers that I've spoken to recently have had doctor's notes saying that they cannot drive those. One of them, it did something to her knees, I guess because they don't have much space up there or something, and you know, her knees were affected, and she had the doctor the doctor wrote her a note, says she cannot drive those. And there have been, I guess, two or three that I know of, just from, you know, what this other driver was saying today. And the driver I was riding today, he's been driving for Cap Metro for well over 20 years. And he's seen a lot of the changes. And there's one thing that really is, the air conditioners never work on those things.
Oh, God. Well, this is what they get when they're saving money.
Right. And so I found out not only can they cannot work on, their people cannot work on the air conditioners on the ProMax because they're under some kind of warranty. So their people can't work on them or they mess up the warranty.
Yeah.
And their rule, and this is ridiculous, if the inside of the bus is at least 20 degrees cooler than it is outside,
then it's air conditioned.
That's
no,
fine.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We'll flip over all the cards. This is unacceptable.
I've gone on. Well, you know, most of the drivers will. The other buses have a little better air conditioning, and they'll put it on. But then, of course, that's hard because there are other people. Some people, when I'm comfortable, everybody else is too cold.
Right, you know? Right,
so,
right.
Know.
Yeah, no, you won't please everybody. But the idea of just a blanket, if it's 20 degrees cooler, is just fine. Now, with four people in that bus who felt the way you did, couldn't you rally them together? You know, I mean, there's action
that's
in numbers.
That's what I was trying to do because I got a number for Coalition for People with Disabilities.
Uh-huh.
And I called, and I believe they will call me back. I talked to a volunteer.
Good.
You know, and she said that, you know, she said, I will leave a message. So, you know, but I was telling the people on there, and one of them's been riding Cap Metro buses for as long as I have.
Yeah.
And then I found out how they pad their wheelchair numbers. Because in order to get these wonderful buses, they have to have so many people in wheelchairs. So this one woman that I was riding with today, she was telling me that she was in a wheelchair for a while, and then she was out of the wheelchair, mm-hmm. and they kept putting her as a wheelchair
right
person,
right, because they wanted to,
and,
of course,
yeah. And so they wouldn't change her, you know, they wouldn't change her profile,
right?
And the only reason that matters is because you know, you have more options of the buses you can take,
right?
And that's one of the reasons, one of the drivers told me that I should get a doctor's note saying that I can't take ProMasters,
right?
And I said, no, I don't want to do that because
then it's less buses from which, you know, to choose.
Right. And if I'm kind of worried about getting my name too mixed up in this because being blind is not enough for eligibility.
Oh, that's crazy.
So, you know, every couple of years we have to go through a recertification process.
Right.
And, of course, you know, now with the rheumatoid arthritis and other things, but, you know, I used to have to get a note saying that I had anxiety issues and could not take fixed route.
Okay. That's
buses.
Good.
You know, I had to do it that way, and then I also, you know, I have a problem crossing streets and
right.
things. I can get anywhere as long as I don't have to cross a street.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But, you know, I just have trouble. I can cross streets with Gary, but by myself,
right.
I'm like, oh my God.
Right.
And especially now with the people, the way they drive, plus the quiet cars.
Oh, the quiet cars especially. Oh, my dear God, yes.
And then in our area, we have one of those roundabouts. Well, how in the heck do you...
Oh, don't you love that? Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are.
Okay.
And yes, more Capital Metro horror stories, I'm sure, are coming up. But right now, we'll do this on WGN Radio.
Headaches, headaches. Aspirin commercials give me headaches. Just when I'm feeling chipper, as you please. That's when they show me all my sinus cavities. Headaches, headaches. Those sponsors don't care how my head aches. See that announcer, he looks so fine. His head should ache like mine. Headaches, headaches. Those pounding hammers give me headaches. They say it once and then they say again. Oh, tension, pressure, pain. Oh, tension, pressure, pain. Headaches, headaches. Those sponsors love it when my head aches. Mother, don't hand me those pills from the shelf. I'd rather do it myself.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, there it is for a friend. That's Headaches. That's from My Son the Nut, 1963, Alan Sherman on Warner Brothers. And obviously the whistling was kind of a pimp on the Ted Weems original 1930 hit where Elmo Tanner did the whistling. And clearly he wasn't on this one as far as that goes. As for the kid, Mommy, Can't You Keep Daddy's Car Out of the Driveway, that was Tom Greenlee, who was a child actor at the time. All right, so back to Fran.
I love that line. Can't you keep Daddy's car out of the driveway?
Yeah, right, exactly. I wonder what ever happened to little Tom Greenlee. I should look that up.
Oh, yeah. I love Alan Sherman. And what was the woman's name that he did? Sarah Shockman,
On
Harry Bachman.
Right, on My Son, the Folk Singer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to have all those albums.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to get them again or find them on CD or something. But I used to have all those and I've memorized them all pretty much.
Oh, sure.
But let's see. There was something else I was going to say about Metro Access, but I forgot. But anyway, I guess I'll go on to. I just got a couple of things to say. I was so sorry about Dolly Parton, and one thing, a lot of people can have wonderful strong voices and all of that, but when she sang, oh man, she put her heart into it.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you could hear the emotion. I love singers like that. I don't like I don't like Whitney Houston's version of I Will Always Love You. I prefer the Dolly Parton, because the Whitney Houston, although she has a good voice, you think, oh, that's a good voice.
Yeah.
When Dolly Parton sings it, it's like, this woman is heartbroken.
Yeah, right. She puts soul into it, literally.
Yeah. And, and it's not all this soup. I call it vocal gingerbread.
Right.
Where, you show up and do all your swoopty swirly things and stuff like that. I mean, I always think it should be more about the song than about all of that. But that's just me. I know a lot of people love all that stuff.
Yeah.
but
you know, she definitely was. She was definitely an original. You could pick her voice out of a crowd probably faster than anybody else recorded.
Oh yeah. And I was surprised to hear some of that stuff that she recorded. What, she was 13?
Yeah, that one that they went down to Louisiana to record. Yeah. Well,
wow,
and
that was just.
Yeah, I played one that I played last night was a real weird. So I accidentally played it twice, and now I can't even think of the name of it. That's terrible. I didn't mean to play it twice, but when I was doing the replay, I'm like, damn, I played that twice. Yeah, it wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels. And when she recorded that, she was probably 14, maybe. And 15 thereabouts. It was a budget label, Somerset, that did it on a compilation, like all these different female artists doing all these different country standards. And then what happened was when she when she started to get a lot of notoriety, Starday bought it. You know, they leased the master and released it as a single in 1970. And I'm sure that she just cringed. But, you know, nothing you can do about it.
Right. But, oh, that song cracks me up because Johnny Cash on his Folsom Prison Blues album is doing that same melody. Of course, that's right. All through country music. That,
right.
You know, it wasn't God Who Made Honk. But he did, "I Was Flushed from the Bathroom of Your Heart."
Oh, I love it. That's perfect.
I was washed down the sink of your conscience in the theater of your love. I lost my part.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm aware of that, and actually, that was on that Folsom Prison album. Jack Clement wrote that.
Oh, that's hilarious!
Yeah, garbage disposal of your dreams, shafted up the elevator of your future, and yeah, that was Jack Clement.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
As you know, I love songs like that.
Oh, yeah, great. Nothing beats great lyrics.
Oh, I know. And sometimes even if I don't agree with them, I love them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But, I mean, like, I loved Barry Boys by the Chad Mitchell Trio. Well, I was totally against everything they were singing, but it was just, you know, great lyrics.
Oh, it's just like, you know, and of course I, you know, kind of agree with it, but, of course I was young at that time, but, the other one I like is Draft Dodger.
Absolutely. Phil Oakes. Yeah. I'm just a typical American boy from a typical American town. I believe in God and Senator Dodd and keeping old Castro down. But when it came my time to serve, I knew better dead than red. But when I got to the old draft board, this is what I said. Sarge, I'm only 18. I got a ruptured spleen and I always carry a purse. I got eyes like a bat and my feet are flat and my asthma's getting worse.
My asthma's getting worse.
Think of my career and my sweetheart dear and
my poor
old invalid aunt. Besides, ain't no fool. I'm going to school and I'm working at the defense plant. Yeah, right. Exactly. I had Chow and Lie. Yeah, we could go on.
Oh, the song I love by Phil Oakes that reminds me so much of Austin, and I, of course, wouldn't ask you to play it because it's very political, but Love Me, I'm a Liberal.
Oh, absolutely. And
have you ever heard that one?
Yeah, and there's a lot of Phil, again, you know, I disagreed with everything the man ever stood for, but I thought Small Circle of Friends was just a piece of art, you know.
Oh, I love Small Circle of Friends.
Smoking and marijuana is more fun than drinking beer. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. I actually wouldn't know about either. That's really sad,
know,
but true.
I know.
Oh,
well,
God.
You know, hey, that's okay.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, if you grow up a sick kid, the last thing you ever want to do is take anything that's going to alter you in any way, you know?
Oh, I mean, of course.
My acting out was not taking the drugs. You know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, you know, I can definitely understand that. Oh, I remember the other point I was trying to make about, the street crossings here.
Yeah.
Austin loves their bike lanes.
Don't they, though? Yes.
And we hate them. Gary, who is a very good street crosser, and he can't cross streets in our neighborhood because the bike lanes throw his timing totally off.
Oh, I can see that.
It just is, you know, it's just ridiculous. And
law of unintended consequence. And there's Austin that prides itself of, you know, being so totally inclusive in all these things. And, well, whoops, guess again.
Yeah. Love me, I'm a liberal.
Yeah. All right. I will see. If I have that on this computer, I will play that.
I thought that might be too political and you wouldn't want to play it.
But again, for lyrics, like I play Draft Out Your Drag, you know, and I play Small Circle of Friends. And I play Barry's Boys, you know, where the bright young men who want to go back to 1910 were Barry's Boys.
1910.
Right. Where the kids who agree to be social without security were Barry's Boys.
Barry's Boys.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and
I love that.
Again, it's the antithesis of how I think, but great lyrics are great lyrics.
Oh, yeah. It's like there's a group called The Foreman, and I love them.
Uh-huh.
And I think you played something of theirs once on your Friday night show, after the show was over, and
okay.
You played songs that you just liked.
Yeah.
And I think you played one of theirs, and, you know, I was kind of surprised. But anyway...
Yeah,
I guess
they were more recent, by the way. They were like 1990s, really. That was Roy Zimmerman's group, yeah.
And I'm trying to think of the other one I like that are kind of in that vein. Of course, the Austin Lounge Lizards can go that way.
Yes. So, you know, I don't have to agree with the sentiments to enjoy a great lyric.
Right. Yeah. Me either. You know. Although some of those I do agree with. Right. But, you know. Hey.
All right. Well, good deal. Good to talk to you.
Okay,
thanks.
All right.
Goodbye.
Talk to you later.
All right, so 888-876-5593. A lot more requests to play, including three from Lisa and Joliet, and there's some from you, too. And we've got, Don and Beloit. I think we talked to Don, actually, and we talked to Fran. And we've got Cindy and Lisa and Soroya. All right, Soroya is up late. We'll get there next on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and Lisa and Joliet wanted to hear the Shepherd Sisters. They really were sisters. They were kids at the time, obviously four of them, suburban Cincinnati, Middletown, Ohio, and home of a Ruth Lyons 50-50 Club and every other venue. But I don't know how they got involved with Morty Craft, but they did, and first he had him on his Melba label, and then he had him on his Lance label. In fact, Alone, which was a medley of their hit, really, came out on Lance in 1957. It was a national hit. hit, so much so that Mercury signed them. And in fact, Mercury re-released Alone, but tried a number of other things too, such notables as Eatin' Pizza, I am not making that up, and Heart and Soul and other things. And I think they were on Warwick for a while, and even Big Top, and nothing happened. Eventually Atlantic, and you know, I don't know anymore. But that's a medley of their hit there, and that's the one that Lisa wanted to hear, and now she has. 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. All right, so Soraya in Detroit, what keeps you up at night?
Menopause.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, well, I turned 50 this year, so it's time for that stuff. So I don't sleep, and I thought, well, I could call the rock star. She's probably up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's good to hear from you. Sorry you're going through this.
Oh, well, you know, it is what it is, and that's okay. You know, it's all right. But I thought about Dolly Parton when she passed, because I remember you introducing me to so many great old country songs on your old show, like back around 2014. And you played Dumb Blonde by Dolly Parton, which is incredible.
Yes. Yeah.
So I was thinking about, like, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Something she recorded around that time for Mercury was something that Ray Stevens wrote and produced, Busy Signal, which I played last night.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that. That's a great one.
Yeah. So,
yes. Bigger hits are great, but Dolly was just an overall great person from what I've read about.
Absolutely.
And seen online. And funny. I was watching clips of her today. She's so funny.
Yeah, well, yeah, she was. She was truly hilarious. And I know they've had a lot of clips. I saw she was on some show, and I'm trying to think of the setup, but it basically, you know, she said how much she, you know, loved dressing up and doing all this stuff. And so she said, well, if I was a guy, I'd be a drag queen because I just love this stuff. And I could see her in that
perfect
part. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard the thing too. Some lady asked her, like, how long does it take to get your hair done? And she's like, I don't know. I'm not with my hair when it gets done.
Exactly.
I was dying. I'm like, oh, this lady's really funny. And then she was saying some stuff on Letterman I didn't catch. It's just, you know, and then right after that, we lose Tim Curry.
What?
You know. Tim Curry passed.
Oh, yes, you know? I did know Tim Curry, absolutely. And I was talking about that with John over dinner, because that was such a sensation that Top 40 stations used to host every Friday night at midnight the Rocky Horror Picture Show movie that they'd show incessantly. And I remember in Jacksonville I had to host that. But after that, about, I don't know, 78 or 79, I went around to other cities just to see, and the lines were different in other cities. They weren't, some of them were the same, but there was one where they were, you know, when they were viewing the entire gallery, and in Ohio, somebody shouted, Cleveland City Council, and that became just huge. It was the only place it was used. But so the lines were a little different.
That's hilarious. I went in my junior year of high school.
Okay.
Went to a production at, like, the movie at Lakeside Mall, which doesn't exist anymore. None of what I did anymore at 50 exists anymore. You know this feeling, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I know this feeling, of course.
So I was part of the production where we could still throw rice and bread, and you had to know the lines. And my friend who got me in it was a year older, and she prepped me for it. She's like, okay, you got to learn these lines. And I'm like, really?
Oh, yeah, you absolutely have to. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. You do have to learn lines. And again, that, depending on the city, the lines changed. All right, so we'll get back to Soraya. We got Lisa. We got Cindy. We got you on WGN Radio.
I'm a girl watcher. I'm a girl. watching, watching girls go by. My, my, my. I'm a girl watcher. I'm a girl watcher. Here comes one now.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Beach music at its finest. The Occasions. Yeah, originally on North State, a little North Carolina label. That was Donnie Weaver's group. Guy worked for Carolina Power and Light, actually. Played bass and sung lead on that. And starting to get big, ABC picked it up. It was big. They booked him on tours, and that was when the hilarity began because the promoters thought they were black. Well, it was a shock to the Occasions, too, some of the place they were booked, but ultimately music won out. So we're talking to Soroya in Detroit, who was up late tonight, and yes, going through the change. And so what else is happening?
Oh, well, hey, I was cracking up listening to that song.
Oh, yeah.
I know about that song.
Oh,
yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no, that was actually a pretty big hit. It's the only thing they ever hit with. And they do. They sound pretty black. And so I know they're booked into the Apollo. And the promoter almost fell over when they walked in, you know, because here were, you know, these five Southern white boys. So.
Yeah, it's funny on another level, as you well know. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
So anyway, talking about Tim Curry, so the first time I saw that, I was on the fence about who I was in high school. So I went to this production. I'm like, oh my God, there are options?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I had no idea.
Wow.
So like Rocky Horror was a huge thing for me, like, because it kind of awakened that. And then there was a guy in my class who had the pride rings on a string. And I'm like, what is that? And he's like, you can't have them. I'm like, what do you mean I can't have them? This is such a scene. This is like 92, 93.
Yeah.
He's like, you can't have them. I'm like, but they're Rainbow and I love them and they're in our dog chain. He's like, you cannot have them, Soroya. So of course, I went and bought some because I could.
Right.
Because, and I was wearing them. And he's like, you do not understand what you're saying.
Right, exactly. And you didn't.
I had no clue. But by the time I was late senior year, early college, I was like, oh. Oh, I understand now. I'm like, I get it. And he's like, yeah.
Right.
So the Tim Curry thing hit me in a different way than Dolly. I mean, I always love Dolly. I'm a rockabilly girl. You know this about me. And Dolly's iconic.
Oh, yeah.
But Tim Curry is iconic in his own way. For a lot of us gay folk, he was huge for us.
Oh, absolutely.
Really,
and, you know, like many people, he fell into that accidentally. He was a stage actor, and originally that was a stage play. But, you know, I'll tell you, I was relieved when I saw he passed because he had a really bad ischemic stroke in 2012.
He did.
And it was so bad that usually with ischemic strokes, unlike hemorrhagic, you don't usually expect that there's going to have to be a craniotomy and you have to go into the brain. But they did with him, and they had to relieve because there were a couple of clots that were blocking blood to the brain. So this was a very gnarly thing, and he never recovered. So,
but you know what I love about him? He was always, before then, he was always so private about his personal life, which was great.
Yeah.
Because it also reinforced the whole thing with the LBG, the community at the time. It was a thing. Like, he was so iconic. And it, honestly, Raleigh, I agree, I'm glad he passed, but and to piggyback on that before I get off this call, Dolly was absolutely a huge advocate for gay rights, too.
Oh, big time. Absolutely big time. Yeah, Dolly was just good through and through, and she wouldn't have cared what your orientation was, what your color was, what your background was. That just didn't matter to her in the least, and it showed that it wasn't fake. That was really Dolly.
And it was really cool, too, because I saw something today where she was talking about something, and she's like, are you really a Christian if you don't believe these values? If you don't love everybody? And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, this is what the world needs more of. So in a way, I'm sad she passed.
Yeah.
But in a way, all the social media, it's united so many people racially and with sexuality. It's a huge thing that way.
Well, it is. And, you know, she'd battled, you know, kidney stones forever and autoimmune crap forever. But when they made the cancer diagnosis after her husband passed, you know, sadly, it wasn't going to get better. So for her sake, I am very glad that she is in a much better place. She deserves it.
Me too. And thank you for putting me ahead of the pack, Raleigh. I appreciate it. And I'll call you back as soon as I can.
Yeah, well, no, good luck. Hopefully you'll get some sleep. But believe me, I totally relate, because when they took out my thyroid gland when I was, you know, 13 years old, I went through all that stuff. And I remember so vividly, I would talk to these women in their 50s and stuff, and they're fanning themselves. And I'm talking, oh, night sweats, aren't they the worst? And, you know what I mean? Just, hilarious. I could relate to everything they went through. The difference is, it never stopped. So I relate totally.
Oh, God, you've had it your whole life, and that's terrible.
Yep.
As a vampire you are, I will not reveal your true age. I'm good with that.
No, you just live with it. After a while, you just live with it. But I can, believe me, whatever your symptom is, I've had it, I have it, I understand.
Oh, man, much love to you and John. Right. Raleigh.
Okay,
talk to you soon.
Okay, bye. Yeah, between that and the other thing they don't tell you, the psychogenic itching. Yeah, and I didn't realize till recently, I'm always itching. So, yeah, apparently not everybody does. All right, 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, we got Lisa and Dundee here in a moment, and Cindy in Chicago. And yes, there's room for you on WGN Radio. Time when you're talking Donald Woods, he did A Death of an Angel, which was banned because people thought the kids were going to commit suicide or what have you. And usually that's all you get when you talk Donald Woods. And there was so much more. He was originally a member of the Medallions. You have Vernon Green's group, You Betcha, and did a lot of doo-wop and was a fixture in the L.A. Bel Air, in the L.A. doo-wop scene as far as that goes. And I just thought he was terrific. And he also did a number of other things, too. He wrote jingles and all that stuff, so he was around. But it was Stan in Dearborn who had requested that, and I thought, yeah, that's absolutely worth playing. You betcha. All right, so 888-876-5593. Lisa in Dundee, welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you feeling, Lisa?
You know what? I feel great.
Yay! Oh, that's so good. Yay!
I know. Everything seems to be just coming along, and I actually got out of the house yesterday, and I went to the hair salon for the first time since November of last year.
Whoa!
And I know, and I treated myself, and I feel really good. My breathing is so much better, and I'm...
Oh, good.
I'm keeping up with my physical therapy. I've got a whole routine now where I do it every day, and
Yay. It
just seems to be helping. So,
yes.
Yeah,
Well, that's excellent.
I'm feeling good.
Good.
Yeah,
I'm so glad.
Yeah, thank you. But I just wanted to tell you what I really liked about Dolly Parton. is the fact that she never took herself too serious.
Oh, of course.
She was the first one to joke about anything of, you know, about her, physically, anything.
Right.
Which quiets everybody else down from, you know, doing it.
Sure.
And, you know, I've been watching a lot of clips where she's on the talk shows and everything, and she's just so funny, and I just, oh, I just loved her. She reminds me a little bit of Betty White in the fact that everybody loved her.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
It's just something else, but, and I agree with Fran. I like her version of I Will Always Love You much better than
Whitney
Houston.
Yeah, light years.
Much better.
You know, I don't...
Although, ever since you told me it was about Porter Wagoner,
it is.
Made me feel a little bit funny. But, yeah, there's so much more heart and soul into her song, you know.
Oh, you betcha. So, and she did write some great lyrics, absolutely. She really did. Yeah, yeah.
And coming from... You know, nothing and all, you know, but, and I was really surprised yesterday when you played that song by her sister. It sounded just like
doesn't
her.
It? Well, and you know, Stella was a great, is a great gal. She's still alive. And sadly, because she sounds so much like Dolly, I'm sure that's exactly why she didn't have much of a career. You know, she,
I would think.
Yeah, she probably had 10 or 15 records that charted, but no real big hits. But I loved that standard line number one. I was hoping that would be a hit. I played the hell out of it in 77. So it didn't help.
When you played it yesterday, I thought for sure it was Dolly Parton until you mentioned it was her sister.
Yeah, it was that Stella.
Yeah.
And and she's a lovely gal, too. She certainly didn't have, you know, Dolly's presence or charisma, but she wasn't attempting to. It was great. And, you know, Dolly made no apologies for her beginnings in Sevierville, and she started, of course, the book giveaway because her father was illiterate. And but as she is always quick to point out, that didn't mean he was stupid. They all were very street smart in their own way. 12 kids, so it's tough all the way around. But she did, in many ways, have a charmed life, and she and Carl were just perfect for each other.
They really were. That was a love story.
Yes,
and I love the story you told yesterday about what she did for Porter Wagoner, where she bought up
and gave it to him back. I know.
And gave it to him back. Yeah. I mean, she's just...
Yeah. I never... By the way, I never would have done that. So, yeah, she was more of a person than me.
I don't think too many people would have.
No, but she did. And I know her gifts keep on giving. I believe that she has willed her house. It's like an $80 million house there or something, something really expensive. And of course, they built it in the 70s, but it's worth a lot now. And that's going to be for a children's home of some sort. So that's
great.
She gave that away as a charitable deal. And she gave a lot of money to Miley Cyrus, who was her godchild. And other people as well. So because she didn't have any kids, as far as that goes, and I'm sure everybody in her family did well, and a lot of them worked for her over the years. But each and every one of them, you know, put in an honest day's work. I didn't know any slouches in that family.
No, you couldn't with 12 kids or whatever it was, and that small house, and just something else. But anyway, that was sad, but she's, you know, like you said, she's...
And she did it on her terms.
Left a legacy.
And what was really good is she ardently didn't want the cancer diagnosis out there. And
no, she didn't.
She managed to, you know, everybody who knew respected that because it didn't come out until after she passed. And, you know, it's basically less than a year since Carl died, and Carl's death was tough all the way around for her. She's a caregiver. She got out as easy as she could, so to speak, and hopefully is enjoying the hell out of herself now on the other side.
They were showing clips today of her saying, you know, addressing the you know, her fans, do I look sick? You know, I'm not sick. And of course she was. And
right.
Then they showed her last public appearance. She could barely walk. She was being held up by, you know, somebody, a guy on each side of her, but she still had her high heels on, and, you know,
oh yeah,
she was Dolly Parton to the very end.
Oh, yeah. And those heels are amazing. They were, you know, because she's only like 5 feet tall, but they were not only 6-inch heels, but they were 6-inch heels on platform shoes. So,
right.
You know,
That's right.
John said, how the hell does she walk? I don't know. Some people do. But with Carl was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, you know, about 5-6 years ago. So, you know, she really was a dedicated caregiver for him, and she cut back on touring for all that stuff, too. So it was not easy for her.
No, I can imagine. And I've been through that with my father, so I know that it's tough.
It is, so, and in many ways tougher for the caregiver. It's
absolutely.
Just heartbreaking.
I mean, the first time my dad looked at me, he was living here, and he looked at me and he said, what was your name again?
Yeah.
I was like, oh boy, that goes right, right in the heart.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you just have to go into their universe, you know, you just have to.
Right. And there's so much we don't know, like we've talked about before. Yeah. I did, after I talked about that on the air one night, I did start going through some of those near-death experience kind of videos to find out if anybody had talked about Alzheimer's. And there were a few, actually. And, you know, the consensus, if there was one, that they were straddling both universes, you know, that they were outside their body and in at the same time. So, but even so, I can't imagine the stark terror of that diagnosis, of knowing where it's going when you're still cognitive enough to know that. And
In my dad's case, his mother had it. So he was her caregiver, and he watched all the stages with her. And then when he started to slip a little, he knew what was happening. He you know, and it's very scary. And after a while, it's not so hard on them because they don't remember, but it's
well, we don't think, you know,
who knows? Hard on the people left behind.
Oh, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. Yeah. The one thing that's interesting, I've heard this from many people, is, and maybe this happened in your life too, is that many times right before death, there's a moment of lucidity where the individual is very aware suddenly, and then they pass.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, I remember it was about 3 days before my dad passed, and I was able to have a really good conversation with him, and I just came out and told him it was okay for him, you know,
to go.
Right. And I named all his children, and I said, we're all well, you know, you took very good care of us, and, you know, he just looked like he, you know, really understood me, touched my face, and, you know, so, yeah, I think, and then I think, you know, eventually they have to just release, you know.
Right, and they slip away, but that moment of lucidity seems like it's almost a hallmark, it seems, in every case, and it usually foretells that the end is pretty much imminent, but the fact that they can come out of it is a gift in many ways.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
right.
And I sure wish, you know, of all the things we study, I sure wish we'd find out what the heck is really going on with that. Of course, it's so nebulous, it's not fully diagnosed until after death if you do an autopsy.
Exactly.
But, you know, what's causing this and who's more prevalent to get it and what can you do and all that, because
And is it genetic? You
right,
know, like
is
my,
it? Yeah.
My dad's mother had it.
Right.
And he had it. Now, none of us have it yet, wood, but...
If it is genetic, that may be one factor. There may be a trigger that's not genetic, that if you have the genetic markers, it triggers it. You know, in other words, it's a combination of things.
I always thought it was from, my dad had he died when he was 76, but when he was 70, he had a triple bypass. Uh-huh. And I always wondered if it was the anesthesia.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised about that. Oh, hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are.
Okay.
All right. And we'll pick it up after the news right here on WGN Radio.
My happiness. misery. Ask me why.
I'll say I love you, and I'm always thinking of you.
I love you, 'cause you tell me things I want to know. And it's true that it really only goes to show that I know that
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, the Beatles, 1964 on VJ. Yeah, that was their lucky day. As far as that goes, we've told that story a lot. But anyway, it was Lisa in Joliet who wanted to hear Ask Me Why, which, of course, was not only on Introducing the Beatles, but also 45 with Anna on the flip side. All right, so we were talking with Lisa in Dundee until the news so rudely interrupted me. So carry on, Lisa.
Well, we were just talking about how I thought it was the anesthesia that my dad went through that may have triggered this.
I believe that.
Alzheimer's, yeah.
You know, it's somewhat old wives' tales, maybe, but I've always thought that general anesthesia, particularly when you're older, is the absolute worst thing that can happen to you. Avoid it at all costs. That's my belief.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about the brain and you're, you know, it's got to be affected somehow.
Oh, it clearly does, and you see that very often when people have gone through through general anesthesia for some surgery for a few hours or whatever, that very often it's a month or two before they're fully grounded again, if you will. I remember that after my adopted mom had one of those surgeries, and I went and saw her, she was telling me that she had lunch with someone who had died like 20 years earlier, it's exactly what to expect, and for most people, they somewhat come out of it. But I say somewhat because increasingly we're finding out that the declines are more real than medical science has been giving them credit for. So I think it's always good, if it's anything elective, that if you're older, that you think twice and get a lot of research before you make a decision. And I'm also a big believer in anesthesiologists. And very often most of their cost is not covered by insurance. I don't care. It's the best money you'll ever spend.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I noticed that when I had my surgery, it was a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got home, I couldn't find my words, and I, everything is so much better now. But yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, and I think as time goes on, they'll find out more and more. You know, I say they call it the practice of medicine because we're still practicing. And in many ways, we're in the dark ages about all of this stuff.
But, I wonder if people would donate their bodies or their brains after they die, you know, that had Alzheimer's, if that would, you know, help with some research or something.
I hope that some have. I'm sure that that's been solicited. I'd be surprised if it wasn't. But whether or not we'll find out that most, post-mortem, I don't know. It's And then there's the body-mind connection. There's so many things involved, so many layers of this that we're clueless. We're just, as a species walking Earth,
options, like with Parkinson's, that's a big umbrella. There's so many other things underneath it that it could be, and...
Well, right. And that's another thing. People who have been treated for one thing for years and it was actually mimicking an underlying cause. So when we start to treat symptoms instead of disorders, it's problematic. We've come so far in many ways, but we're nowhere in other ways. So,
time will tell, I guess.
Right. And it requires all of us to basically take it into our own hands to make the decisions on our own. Medical advice and all that. But at this day and age, I'm not saying consult Dr. Google and believe it. There's enough information out there that you can become an informed patient. And I think that that's mandatory these days.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right. Well, I'll let other callers.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're sounding great, and I'm so glad you're feeling good.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Very
appreciate
much.
It. Okay. Bye.
Talk soon. Okay,
yes.
Bye.
All right. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Cindy is in Chicago. All right, Cindy. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah. Everyone was talking. Well, I have a few things to talk about, but everyone was talking about the commercials.
Yeah.
Everyone would like this. It's really great. The PBS special about it was from the 50s, 60s, 70s about the marketing people who. The advertising people and how they stole the contracts from the New York people. It was just really, it was great. It was all about commercials from when you were a child, how they were, how they made them. Mm-hmm. And it was on last winter on PBS.
Yeah, are you talking about the Real Mad Men and Women of Madison Avenue? I think that's what they called it. It was a PBS documentary last year, and mostly like DDB. They were talking about DDB, which is Doyle Dane Birnbach changing advertising. Like, yeah. Okay, yeah, that was it. It was called The Real Mad Men and Women of Madison Avenue.
Yeah, that it was just really cool. It was really cool.
Yeah, you can watch that online.
If anyone wants to, I saw it twice already, but the reason I had called, I didn't really have anything big to talk about, but just call up. But anyhow, just at the end of WGN News, they said that prices are going up for common paper products by 50%.
Okay.
And then the other thing I wanted to talk about was I'm going to the village of Norwich to talk to them tomorrow about it. I'm not going to call them, but that new Norwich store that took over Beautier Shop and Save.
Okay.
Now, this is the second or third week I've gone there, and this week it was oranges that were supposed to be on sale for navel oranges for 99 cents a pound. And you get in there and it says $1.99.
Ah.
So, and you probably would say, well, talk to the manager, but I don't know those people. And what happened at Target in Norwich, like about 2 years ago, the prices would say one thing in the aisle, and then you'd get to the register.
Yes, and they'd be different. Yes.
And the guy complained called the store manager, and she started screaming at him to get out of the store. And, he's like, oh, my God. And the police ended up, I would just go to Norwich and tell them what's going on. And if they listen to me, I don't think that store is going to make it, though, because there was no one in the store. They sell, in Norwich, it's mostly like fourth generation ethnic people and a lot of Italian people and like ethnic Italian people. And
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's Norwich. Pretty much a lot of
never even heard of it, so I can't contribute to the discussion at all.
But that's okay. But I'm just telling the people in our neighborhood. Yeah. They probably relate. Well, it's just like this ethnic food at the store that nobody would buy. And
well, obviously somebody would if they're stocking it. You would think, but I looked up the what probably was said on the news, and that has to do with the 50% tax that's going on between us and Canada, and so starts August 19th. Started, I should say, August 19th, and so that would be a lot of paper, absolutely, including paperboard, cardboard boxes, toilet.
Yeah.
Right. So because Canada announced counter tariffs of up to 50% on pulp and other products that will take effect September 8th. So we'll see. We'll see.
The thing about it is, I guess it's cheaper to make this, have the manufacturing in Canada.
Well, no, it's not. Wait a minute. It's not so much when you're talking about a paper product. It's not so much of whether it's cheaper to make it there. It's where are the trees? Where's the pulp? And there's quite a bit in the States too.
Well, I had read maybe over five years ago that one of the only things that we export is paper products
from the U.S.
So I don't really... I have a lot of questions about it for the reference librarian, but it's too early.
Well, there you go. You can ask them because I'll stay out of the discussion.
Yeah, and then, I mean, I don't think I could afford paper towels too much anymore.
Well, you'll have to do something. All right.
Yeah. Hand towels.
Uh-huh. All right.
Hand towels.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's all crazy, and it's all very political, and underneath it all, there's a lot of politics involved, which is why we don't discuss this. Plenty of places you can hear it, and every viewpoint in the world is available, but it is it's obviously troublesome when you're facing higher prices for whatever reason. But sometimes finding out the story behind the story, it may be more than what you're hearing in a soundbite. We'll just leave it there. 888-876-5593. Renee is in Fox Lake. Welcome to WGN Radio. Renee. We lost Renee? Oh, well. Yeah. Politics probably drove her out. Who would blame her? All right. So, well, we'll get off that. We'll play another one of your requests coming up right here. And do call 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
In every American community, you have varying shades of political opinion. One of the shadiest of these is the liberals. An outspoken group on many subjects. 10 degrees to the left of center in good times. 10 degrees to the right of center if it affects them personally. So here then is a lesson in safe logic. I cried when they shot Medgar Evers. Tears ran down my spine. And I cried when they shot Mr. Kennedy, as though I'd lost a father of mine. But Malcolm X got what was coming. He got what he asked for this time. So love me, love me, love me, I'm a liberal. Get it? I go to civil rights rallies, and I put down the old D.A.R. D.A.R., that's the Dykes of the American Revolution. I love Harry and Sidney and Sammy. I hope every colored boy becomes a star. But don't talk about revolution. That's going a little bit too far. So love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal. I cheered when Humphrey was chosen. My faith in the system restored. And I'm glad that the commies were thrown out from the AFL-CIO board. And I love Puerto Ricans and Negroes as long as they don't move next door. So love me, love me, love me, I'm a liberal. Ah, the people of old Mississippi.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Phil Oakes, obviously, a tongue firmly in cheek and very sardonic, but proving that, yes, he is an equal opportunity insulter all the way around. So, yes, love me, I'm a liberal. And that's 1966. There But For Fortune was the album originally on Elektra. All right, Ralph is in Rockford. Welcome to WGN Radio, Ralph. Let's see here, get the magic twanger out, and there we go. How's it going tonight?
Well, thank you very much. I'm enjoying the show, especially about Alzheimer's.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully, we never have to find out firsthand.
But if you have a little luck, you don't get Alzheimer's. You only get Sumheimer's.
You're right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the main reason I called, I was gonna had a little request here by a group that you like very much, and this is the Tavares Group.
Okay, what is it?
You, Yeah, Tavares is the one.
Oh, Tavares. What Tavares record do you want? I love some Tavares stuff.
Yeah, well, I like the one that made it to up to in the top 10 in June of 78. It was More Than a Woman.
Oh, that's interesting. That would not be one of my favorites, but that's all right. I'll do it. It ain't no Who Done It or Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel, but okay.
Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel made it to number 4 the United Kingdom.
Great record.
In August 76, if I remember right.
Great record.
Who Done It was wonderful, too. Yeah, that was number 6 in May 77, if I remember, in UK.
Yeah,
another kingdom.
It was a great song all the way around. But you want more than a woman. All right, I'll do that for you.
Yeah. If you have the time.
Yeah, well, I've got as many as 2 more bumpers coming up tonight, so you'll be one of them. We'll give you More Than a Woman.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. It was originally done by the Bee Gees.
Yes, I'm afraid it was.
Well, I mean, but they gave it to Tavares, and they did it too in this Saturday Night Fever album. But you know, I still, you said a lot of good things about Tavares.
I love them going back to when they were Chubby and the Turnpikes. I know the inside story. That's one of my favorite records. And Chubby Tavares, and you know, even their later stuff on RCA, like Penny for Your Thoughts, I thought was a great song. But More Than a Woman leaves me cold, but that's all right. I'll play it for you.
Well, maybe they're dedicated for you, and you don't know it.
Yeah. All right. So we'll do it. Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right. So 888-876-5593. We've got a half hour left of absolutely nonsense and maybe a couple of requests like Tavares and whatever is on your mind coming up right here on WGN Radio. Wants to hear More Than a Woman. All right, well, proving Tavares can do much of anything. Also proving that nobody could really improve that song. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Brian is in Seneca. What's happening tonight, Brian?
Not much, just a nightmare of a past once thought long gone.
Uh-oh.
Phil X.
Okay.
His desecrating the airwaves, it's something I thought that We had managed to outlive.
Oh, no. I think Small Circle of Friends is one of the greatest songs ever. I think it's hilarious. And you got to love the Draft Dodger rag.
Well,
the lyrics are hilarious. They just are. You don't have to agree with the sentiment.
Well, I can certainly say that I don't agree with the sentiment at all.
I don't agree with the sentiment at all either, but they're very clever lyrics. You got to like that. At least I got to like it.
Well, I might hold my nose and give them a fresh listen, maybe enjoy it a little bit more. But my request would be, the polite request is Only a Fool Would Say That by Steely Dan.
Okay. Okay. All right, Brian in Sunny Hill, let me write your name down. And if we don't play it tonight, at least I'll know who requested it when I do play it. Sounds good. We'll do it.
Okay, yeah, thanks a lot, Rob.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate the call. Yeah, and yeah, I think not only did I like Draft Dodger Rag because I thought it was clever, but I actually it wasn't the Phil Oakes version that I liked most. I'm trying to think of what heretic it was, but yeah, someone that I otherwise wouldn't listen to, but just loved to buy him. But anyway, it's a wonderful sing-along song. So 888-876-5593. Let's talk about the four-letter F word, food. Yeah, and it was... Engineer Bob sent me 10 regional American dishes you've probably never heard about. I don't know. I think you might have heard about half of them. But the first one they mention is Geta. And if you're from Cincinnati, of course, you know about Grater's Ice Cream. You know about Skyline Chili or Gold Star or Empress, however you want to do that. But you probably also know about Geta. It's ground meat, steel-cut oats and spices, and German immigrants, and they brought it over in the 19th century, and they even have an annual Geta Fest. And what it always reminds me of is Scrapple in Philadelphia. We'll get to that. But the oats give it a good texture. It's kind of crispy and tender at the same time as pan-fried and part sausage patty, part savory oat cake, and Geta, try it. Now, pasties, they say Michigan's Upper Peninsula, but the reality is pasties are around wherever there is copper mining. So having radio stations in Globe, Arizona, where there's nothing but copper mining, we know about pasties. Yes, indeed. A handheld meat pie, Cornish miners brought it to the copper mines in the 1800s in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. But, as I say, anywhere there's copper mines, and they're not dainty things. They're hefty. They're deep. D-shaped pockets, and they're stuffed with beef and potatoes and rutabaga and onions. And someone said they double as hand warmers in a blizzard. They could, probably. But, you know, portability. It's kind of got a built-in plate as far as that goes. And so, yeah, you find them across the United States, but mostly you find them wherever there's copper mining. Then there's Frito pie. Yeah, ever been to a sporting event in Texas or New Mexico? You probably run into this. It's just a bag of Fritos topped with red or green chili and cheese and onions. And usually you're at the game and you're eating with a plastic fork. And then you get the sinking feeling when you look at the fork and there's only three tines on it and you think, where's the fourth? And you realize there's only one possible answer to that and you don't want to think about that. Yeah, and apparently the chili-obsessed culture of Texas and New Mexico loves it. And in New Mexico, the question is red or green. And Fritos getting soggy in all the right ways, absorbing the spicy chili while maintaining just enough crunch to remind you that they are there. Then, as I mentioned, Scrapple. Now, Scrapple is huge. This is another place where they have Scrapple Fest in Philadelphia. And it's what happens when the Pennsylvania Dutch decide that absolutely nothing from a pig should go to waste. Do not ask what is in Scrapple. And the stuff tastes great, but do not ask. You'll never eat it if you do. It's a loaf made from, well, to put it politely, pork scraps. We'll just leave it at that. Cornmeal and spices, then sliced and fried until it's crispy. And it is much like what we've got with Geta in Cincinnati. It is very much crispy on the outside, soft on the inside, and you eat it with eggs. And interesting, the person who put this list together said the rest of the country treats it with deep suspicion. Well, probably so, but it's darn good. Burgoo in Kentucky. Yeah, if you've ever lived in Kentucky, especially some of those apartment complexes that will have those potluck meals and all that, somebody's bringing the burgoo, guaranteed. It's a thick, slow-cooked concoction that contains whatever's available. Originally mutton and squirrel, but not today. It's like chicken and pork and beef and every vegetable imaginable in a tomato-based broth. And they cook it down to where it's really a hearty mixture. It tastes better than I'm describing it. Then there's chicken bog. Oh, God, South Carolina. It's a one-pot dish. It's chicken and whatever else they have, rice and sausage and spices. And the rice absorbs all the flavorful liquid. And the bog is not a actual wetland. It's just the thick, creamy consistency. And this is another one where, you know, the potluck dinners, the family get-togethers, all that. It's they say it's a drier, heartier cousin of chicken and rice. I don't know, smoked sausage. Yeah. So, and then there's the tavern sandwich, which actually is the stuff you get at Made Right and Made Right Hamburgers of Iowa. You should know this. Great chain. It's the loose hamburger. It's the hamburger patty. And it's like a sloppy Joe seasoned ground beef served on a bun. No tomato-based sauce, though. Just perfectly spiced, slightly steamed ground beef piled high and falling apart in the most dignified way. Special. Yes. Check out Made Right if you haven't. And then the Deep South goes for boiled peanuts and yes, yes, indeed. Roadside in the Carolinas, Georgia, Alabama. And, often right out of the slow cookers. They're warm. They're salty. They're utterly unlike any peanut you've ever eaten at a ball game, to say the least. The texture is a shock if you're a first-timer. Yeah, because you're expecting they're peanuts. No, they're soft and bean-like rather than crunchy. You pop open the shell, you squeeze the peanuts into your mouth, and you toss the hull, obviously. And so they also now have Cajun-spiced versions. Then Runza from Nebraska. That's the state snack, don't you know? It's a rectangular pocket of yeast dough stuffed with seasoned ground beef, cabbage, and onions. And German-Russian immigrants brought it to the Great Plains, particularly Omaha. And it's portability, and it's got balanced flavor. It's sweet, but slightly tangy. And that's the cabbage, and the beef is rather savory, and it's wrapped in that soft golden bread. And so you see them at football games in Nebraska, after school, wherever you need, portable comfort. And then here's one that I must admit, heard of, never tried it, don't want to, the Slug Burger of Mississippi, which has nothing to do with slugs and everything to do with the Depression. When meat was expensive, cooks in Corinth stretched ground beef by mixing it with flour, potato flakes, cornmeal, before forming patties out of it and deep frying them. Today, this crispy, slightly bready burger, I don't know if there's meat in it, remains a regional treasure. No. But they have an annual Slug Burger Festival, and the extenders give it a unique texture. As far as I'm concerned, it's meatloaf gone bad. But crunchier on the outside, denser on the inside, served on white bread or Wonder Bread, or a bun with mustard, pickles, and onions. No. I'm telling you what, if you're trying to lose weight, let me read that description again. That'll do it. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. We have Johnny in Austin. All right, Johnny, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, good morning to you. How are you?
All right, so did you get in touch with Kevin?
He got in touch with me.
Okay, good.
And I'm going to get in touch with him. And okay, for your listeners, say, who is Kevin and what is this?
This is 2020.
About the 2020 news.
Yeah.
How long has he been doing that? That's a 2020 news feature that you run.
Yeah, I run
nightly,
it.
Yeah, right?
I run it at the. If I don't have time during the show, I run it at the end of every replay. It's been doing about a year.
Really? Went and looked at the website today, and it's very impressive.
Yeah. Oh,
now,
yeah.
Now, was he one of the people that was actually one of the news guys on that station?
No.
No.
I knew Kevin because right when he got out of high school, he became Robert W.'s producer. And he segued to television and was with CBS Paramount for, I don't know, like 25 years or something. And
really?
Did all sorts of things and is in the DGA and all those things. So he retired well, and that's good. So since he did retire well, this is sort of a labor of love. Obviously, he was well aware of 2020 because it didn't start at CKLW. It started at KHJ. But what gave it the real feeling was when I forget the guy who was news director at CK. Not one of the voices you heard as the newsman, but the news director.
The Byron McGregor?
Yeah, but he was on the air. No, the guy who was news director, I can't think of it. But anyway, it'll come to me. But yeah, Byron McGregor and all those people, they spiced it up. Because back then...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So what year are we talking here about 2020 news?
KHJ started it when they went Top 40 on May 3rd, 1965. But CKLW started it when what's his name, who was from Detroit, what the hell's his name? Short guy. I'll think of it in a moment. But Paul Drew. All right. I don't know. Paul, he's not alive. He can't complain anymore. Paul Drew, when he went to CK, and he was a Detroit native, actually, so it was a good fit for him there. He brought that. And then, CK really, really jazzed it up. I mean, the lines were just all so classic. And so that's pretty much it.
Paul Drew was one of the people that... there was a real help to Walt Babylove, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely.
From the very beginning, I think. Yeah, he called him up at KILT when he was in Houston and said, "I want to talk to you." And yeah. And I think, well, wait a minute now. Was it? Yeah, it was Paul Drew. I do believe. Isn't he the one that sent him all over the?
Probably when
RKO was,
yes,
it RKO?
Yeah, when Drake pulled. Well, yeah. Paul was originally, he was from Detroit, like I say, went to Wayne State. He was working in Atlanta, and he got close to Bill Drake when Bill was working at Wake in Atlanta. And then Wake, Bill went to KYA, and then he formed the consultancy with Gene Chenault. And they, of course, had KHJ. And so when Bill left RKO, when they severed that contract, Paul was then PD of KHJ and then handled the other RKO stations.
Yeah, Walt Babylove speaks very highly of him. Yeah. He's very, very
It's a mixed story. I'll just leave it there.
Well, what's mixed?
Well, as many people who might speak highly of Paul Drew, I could line him up across the room who want to kill him. He's one of the very divisive people, love him or hate him. And I've had people in my life who, like I say, big supporters, and then people in my life who, I'll kill this, that kind of thing. It was...
Everybody ain't going to love you.
No, well, for a lot of reasons, but anyway,
Or me either, or anybody. Yeah, just can't, like the old saying, you can't win them all. You can't.
Yeah, well, in this case, you really can't. So we'll just leave it there.
Okay.
He's no longer with us, although I just get a lot of mirth thinking about his greatest disaster, which actually had nothing to do with RKO. Paul, fancied himself a visionary, among other things. And he's the one who convinced NBC to bring Pink Lady to a television show on NBC Network. Pink Lady were...
Who is this?
Pink Lady were Me and Key, a Japanese duo, had hit records in Japan. So they bring Pink Lady over. They're going to have a show, and they did have a show. It was a network show, Pink Lady. You look it up. I'm sure it's on IMDb. Anyway... There was one little problem with this. Again, it's going to be an American television show, right? Mm. Neither Me nor Key, both of Pink Lady, spoke a word of English.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And so...
That's a bad start.
Yeah, this was 1980, and I guess March 1st, 1980, the show debuted. And so what they had to do was quickly get somebody who could speak. So Jeff Altman was hired. So it was Pink Lady and Jeff. And then there were disputes over the title and all that. And I think the Pink Lady, if you want to call it a hit, they were massively popular in Japan, but in the U.S. their hit was Kiss in the Dark. And it was Marty Krofft. We were talking about him earlier, but Sid and Marty Krofft, they pursued the project, but they believed that Me and Key spoke English. And so they were promoting the show to NBC, and they were successful. But before it got on the air, it became very apparent that they did not speak English. But so what NBC said, well, we're not putting it on unless they perform their English dialogue phonetically and sing in English. Well, oh, my God. This was just not going to work. So it made 5 whole episodes.
No.
Yeah. So when I think of Paul Drew, I always say, Pink Lady. All right. So
that was one of his visionaries.
Yeah. And that was the brainchild of who, I'll tell you who he convinced, was Fred Silverman. That's who he convinced, who was then president of NBC.
And, well, he must have been quite a salesman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, boy. I could tell you lots of stories. But so anyway, that's...
you got a break coming up?
I probably should. Hang on. Don't go away. All right. Why not? Absolutely. Coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We'll forego the bumper since we have scant few minutes left, and maybe we'll get a 2020 in. But we're talking with Johnny Goen and soulofthecity.net. That'll be Sunday night, 6 to midnight. Dick Smith, or Dick Smythe, however you want to say it, was the news director from 63 to 69.
Oh, yeah. I remember now.
Yeah,
I remember
now. He was the guy who came up with the idea.
I remember that. Yeah. Well, they had an outrageous news guy in Houston, Texas, back in '64 and '5 that did that sensational stuff. And I don't think he took it. I think it was just him. His name was Richard Dobbin, and he was crazier than a bug.
Well, and most markets had that, and because, of course, as we've talked about before, carrying the news was not optional then. The stations had to air it. And FCC,
oh, I know. Commitments.
FCC requirements, pretty much. And so, therefore, what happened was that they were all looking for ways to make it not a tune-out. And so the idea of putting sound effects in it and everything else was very common. And some of the writing was just so clever as far as that goes.
Oh, it was. You know, and they had a documentary on YouTube about CKLW News, and they pulled it down for some reason.
Really? Oh, that's I thought that was also available on a CD, group of CDs or something. But,
oh, I don't know, but it's gone.
Really?
It was talking about crossing the line and stuff. I don't know what the controversy was. I don't know why it got pulled off, but maybe it's back. Hell, I don't know. But that was a legend, and that news was very colorful. That's for sure. I mean, it had an audience, and it wasn't a tune out.
No, well, that was it. That was actually it. And occasionally somebody would step over the line, but for the most part,
well, they mentioned that.
Exactly. Yeah, like the kid who didn't see the steamroller when he rode his tricycle into the street. You know, that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah. By the way, switch subject. Dolly Parton. I just watched an interview with her from 1977.
Uh huh.
With Barbara Walters. And Walters. She was rude to her.
Well, she was snarky, but Dolly, if I remember that interview right, kind of set her in her own place by
she
being...
She did. Yeah. I'm just me. I'm just me.
That's
And I'll tell you, she carried that with her all her life, and... And I've never heard a bad thing about that lady.
Yeah, nor have I.
That says a lot, doesn't it?
It sure does. It absolutely does. Yeah.
Well, anyway, I just want to check in with you and tell you that little Dolly story, and
I'm glad you did.
Sorry, she's gone.
Yeah, me too. All right. Well, I'll get in another 2020 before the night is over. Thank you, Johnny.
You have a great night.
Right, you too. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Raleigh. Yeah. Good night.
All the stories are absolutely real. You might have heard them somewhere else recently. You just never heard them quite this way.
Earn Baby Earn, plus Cyber Spy Swipe, and Squish Squid Spill. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news, real stories, real fun. Blaze betting. As Los Angeles Blaze, bettors bank. Online odds makers turned the 2025 Flames fear and fiery devastation into a financial free-for-all, with gamblers dropping more than $1.2 million predicting how far fires would spread, how much would burn, and when they'd be contained. 31 people died. Now 9 senators want regulators to snuff out the sickening speculation. Forget playing with fire. These folks were paying to predict it. Persian password pirates. 17 Iranian keyboard commandos are charged in Manhattan with a massive malicious cyber campaign, allegedly raiding universities, businesses, and government agencies for Iran's Revolutionary Guard. Prosecutors say the digital desperados targeted 100,000 professors, cracked 8,000 accounts, and carted off 31 terabytes of research and intellectual property. The feds are offering $10 million for information on 5 suspects. Talk about higher education. These guys allegedly majored in Grand Theft Download. Roadkill. 20,000 squid under the scree. A MASH calamari event in Rhode Island when a truckload of squid took a topsy-turvy turn and dumped its slimy supply splish-splash all over the road. Sponge blob scare splats turned the squalled scene into Squid Row, the clammy cleanup taking hours. Slime was of the essence, since seagulls could have turned things into 1/6 smellscape of a Hitchcock reboot. What's the calamari state to spew? And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.
Yeah, like I say, it's in the writing. Just great stuff. All right, so on that note, that'll be a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. That's what makes the show fun to do for me anyway. I'm Rotley James. We'll do it again 21 hours from now. I hope to hear from you. It's WGN Radio.